The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Mark chapter 1, 4 to 11, the gospel lesson that was just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson this morning is the baptism of Jesus. It is the singular focus of the Festival of Epiphany for the Eastern Orthodox churches since ancient times. The Western churches, which include Roman Catholics, Anglicans, and Lutherans, celebrate three events in the life of Christ for their festival or season of Epiphany. These three events are the visit of the Magi, the wedding at Cana, and the baptism of Jesus. All three events reveal the divine nature of Jesus, but the baptism of Jesus also reveals the divine majesty of the triune God in which we are baptized. we might associate the aromas of frankincense, myrrh, and the huge casks of new red wine at Cana with the festival of Epiphany. But the most important smell for this festival is that of clean running water in the wilderness where John was baptizing. It is the smell of fresh water, without the soaps and the shampoos that we associate with baths and showers, without the other additives we put in water to make it safe and drinkable. It is not the smell of the seawater, which, as you know, if you've been to the bay or the ocean, has its own distinct smells. It is the smell of pure spring water, nothing finer or purer. Now, I can't tell you whether in Jesus' day the Jordan River was as pure as fresh spring water. Being a river of some length, it probably was not. It probably had some silt and algae here and there. But it also did not have the pollution we normally associate with American rivers, which are polluted with additives due to agriculture, forestry, mining, and industry. And you may know, much of the fish and the shellfish in our American rivers and our bodies of water are dangerous to eat because of that pollution. Maybe not here in California, but certainly in the Midwest, where I have served most of my ministry. I'm emphasizing this matter of smells and clean water and rivers because when people took a dip into the Jordan River in those days, as they might do frequently if they lived in those parts, it was an enjoyable experience. It was refreshing. You came out feeling clean and smelling clean. And so this whole experience of baptism has this notion of being clean. Although people who were baptized by John became clean bodily, his baptism was really about getting clean spiritually. The external action of cleaning the body signified and caused the internal action of the cleaning of the soul and the heart and the mind. This is what Mark says in verse 4 of our text, that John was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And this internal cleaning is what Christian baptism is still about today. Why do you need to be baptized? Original sin and actual sins stain your soul, and those sins may not be detected to you, but they smell to high heaven. God has to hold his nose when he's around us sinners, when we are not baptized. Sin affects your soul. It affects all of you, your mind, your heart, your will, your emotions, even your memory. Sin affects everything that modern science puts into the category of psychology, and it affects everything that makes you a distinct personality. Because it cannot be seen, original sin and its internal effects have been denied by some Christian theologians, such as Ulrich Zwingli, the father of the Reformed churches. Zwingli taught that sin is only evil actions that you do willingly. He taught that since infants and children do not commit evil actions, they are not sinners, and they do not need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. This was the theological origin of the Reformed denial of the saving power of baptism, and also of the Anabaptist and the Baptist prohibition of children's baptism. If people were going to John to get baptized in order to be clean from their sins, Then the question is, why was Jesus baptized? Our gospel does not answer that question, though the apostle Matthew does. Matthew writes in the parallel passage, quote, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. That's Matthew 3, 13 to 16. This means that Jesus was baptized so that he might perfectly fulfill the law that applied to all Jews of his day. The prophet John told all the Jews that they needed to be baptized without exception. And this was a command from God to them. Jesus was a Jew. So Jesus obeyed this command as a perfect son would, without questioning, even though he himself did not have original sin or actual sins. After Jesus had been baptized by John, he walked out of the Jordan River onto the riverbank. While Jesus was standing there, glistening with water, like a swimmer or a surfer who had just emerged from the Pacific Ocean at Half Moon Bay, then the sky opened up above them. The Greek word schizomenos in verse 10 indicates a splitting of the sky at both ends of the tear. The same term is used in Mark 15:38 for the splitting of the temple veil at the death of Jesus. Here we might think of Isaiah 64:1, where the prophet Isaiah exclaims, oh, that you would tear the heavens and come down. The coming of Jesus amidst the splitting of the heavens is the long-awaited eschatological coming down of the Lord Yahweh to his people. It was a sign that the Jews would have understood. Out of this torn fabric of the sky, the Holy Spirit came down on top of Jesus in the form of a dove. It was clear to those who witnessed it that this was no mere common dove, but some sort of heavenly being, like an angel. Angels are often seen in the form of animals, such as the four living creatures around the throne of God. See Revelation 4, 6 to 11. But this was no mere angel. This was the same Spirit of God who hovered over the waters before the formation and filling of the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, our Old Testament lesson today. This was truly God himself in a visible form. Out of that same torn fabric of the sky, then, a voice rang out for everybody to hear. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Since Jesus was being addressed, we know that this was the voice of the Father. So there by the banks of the Jordan River, the majesty and the wonder of the triune God was clearly revealed to mankind for the first time in history in a visible way to everybody that was there to see it. Each person of the Trinity was present, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person was in perfect unity and of the same substance with the other, as we confess in our creeds. These events of the baptism of Jesus were truly a sight to behold there by the Jordan River, where the people had been ushered into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. On the day of Jesus' baptism, the baptized believers who witnessed the Trinity were there ushered into the kingdom of heaven, the new promised land, under the leadership of Jesus, the new Joshua. Those same baptized believers, who were the beginning of the Christian church, later confessed the triune God that they had seen themselves at the Jordan River. In the same way, Christians around the world today still confess the triune God in the Apostles, the Nicene, and Athanasian creeds. When you think about the baptism of Jesus, you should also think of your baptism. This is because the forgiveness of your sins in baptism is caused only by Jesus' perfect obedience and his suffering and death on the cross. The two are inseparably connected, so that when you came out of the waters of baptism, God said to you, you too are my beloved son and daughter. With you I am well pleased because of my son. As you walk out today at church, you'll pass by the baptismal font and you'll see the Spirit coming down in the form of a dove with the Jordan River in blue flowing by. Even so, we thank God for the baptism of Jesus and for our own baptisms, for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. In Jesus' majestic and wonderful name, amen.